T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Proof that nice guys finish first, Kirk Morrison, who is an 8-year NFL vet, a Bay Area native, a name that all of you are incredibly familiar with. He's going to be covering yet another NFC title game. He is all over LA media, TV, college football games, a man for all seasons. Kirk Morrison here, Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. Kirk, how are you, pal?
I'm doing good. How are we doing today, fellas?
Doing excellent. Thank you so much, man. This 49ers defense is why we wanted to have you on, because they went from incredibly good to not as good to incredibly good again because they got healthy at linebacker in Quan Alexander, and we wanted to have you on to ask you about linebacking play and what happens when you put a heat-seeking missile in the middle of two young guys like Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, just what that does. Everybody starts falling into place when you reinsert your stud in Quan Alexander.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of the missing piece, like you mentioned, throughout the season because of that injury he had. And they kind of lost a little bit of their edge, right? I mean, the guy brings nothing but edge. And then, not to mention, he went to LSU, so we can already know the kind of talent he came from or the pedigree of football that he played. But the thing is, when he comes back and he's supposed to be on a play limit, pitch count, however you want to call it, and the guy pretty much plays the entire game, is because he's a difference maker. He makes guys' job that much easier. He plays, fearless. I won't call him reckless, but he's definitely fearless of the football. And he has the ability that if he makes a mistake, that he can make it up with his speed and his athleticism. And that's the big part, is that when he and Fred Warner are both on the field, I mean, I literally watched tape when they were in the beginning of the season. And then I watched last week's game again. And, man, I'm telling you, it just reminds me of Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis, that little tandem of linebackers. I felt like I've seen it before when those two guys are on the field together.
The other big return last week was Jaquaski Tartt, and to my eyes, his impact is almost as big, and maybe you can speak to that as a linebacker too, of having a guy like that cleaning up behind you makes you maybe play even a little more free.
Yeah, he's the cleanup. I won't call him a straight cleanup hitter, right? But I call him the guy that makes things right when they may be just a bit wrong, right? He's the extra hitter, the free hitter. Sometimes, they can't block everybody, and he seems to be the guy that seems to always make the play. I remember the key play he made against the Rams earlier in the season where he just beat the guy in front of him and went and made a tackle on a fourth down stop. So he's always been that guy, but him coming back along with the guys up front, and we know about the secondary, now trying to figure out what they're going to do with that corner position opposite Richard Sherman, which has kind of been not necessarily problematic, but it's been a revolving door. But I think everybody else has kind of looked around and says, look, this is all we've got, right, fellas? So let's all lean on each other. And I think we'll see a much better outcome in the secondary in terms of the other players outside of Richard Sherman.
With the way that the defensive line is likely to be tasked with the job of pressuring Aaron Rodgers so that he's never comfortable, are the linebackers going to be responsible for making sure that Aaron Jones doesn't give the Packers a dimension that they did not have in game one?
Yeah, Ray, I think one of the bigger things is that how will they use Aaron Jones, right? Is he just going to be a running back, or is he going to be an extra receiver, right? Will he be the guy coming out of the backfield? Will they line him up in empty formation, or will they just use some swing passes? He's going to be a major part of his offense, whether it's the check down play, whether it's the screen game. He has to be a major part. And with these linebackers, as well as they play, that's the one thing, their coverage, right? I'm still surprised Fred Warner didn't garner at least some Pro Bowl talk, because I thought he played an outstanding season. And watching him cover, not just tight ends, but I think also, the running backs, how will Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers get started early on too? How will they get going quickly? That's going to be the difficult part, I think, because like you mentioned, the 49ers linebackers are so quick and so athletic. I think they can guard Aaron Jones man to man. Now, they may have a little safety over the top, but still, I think that they can guard man to man and be successful. So the bigger question for me is, how does Aaron Rodgers get this defense tired or that front four tired? A lot of screens, right? A lot of quick game, getting the ball out early to Devontae Adams, just letting him get the ball early and let him go make some things happen, because I just don't see him having enough time to get the ball deep down the field and take the shots.
Kirk Morrison here on 95.7 The Game. You know, just handicapping this, breaking it down, it's tough to see anything other than Aaron Rodgers turning into Paul Bunyan, getting them past the 49ers. I think anybody looking at this game has to be pretty confident that the Niners are going to win it. How often do you see a team actually go into a game suffering from a case of overconfidence?
Wow, I think I saw it last week with the Baltimore Ravens, right? I mean, Baltimore, they were supposed to win that game. They're the number one seed. They're going against Tennessee. And obviously Tennessee didn't get that memo. They had already beaten the Patriots, and they walked in, and they walked in like they owned the place over at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. I think we'll get a similar situation here with the Green Bay Packers, right? Because the 49ers, you know, you hear Aaron Rodgers speak. He feels that they're the ones that have, you know, should be nervous. They should be the one with all the pressure, because they remember the last time. Green Bay remembers the last time they came up to San Francisco and got embarrassed. I mean, they got flat out embarrassed. I mean, it's like they were never in the game. They were never in the same class as the 49ers. And so if I'm the 49ers, I can't remind myself what happened during the regular season. I have to remind myself of where we're at right now and knowing that we're going to get the best of the Green Bay Packers. They feel like they're playing with house money because, hey, we're supposed to lose, so we shouldn't even be in it. And I think that just fuels a guy who went right there to school at Cal Berkeley to probably do it, you know, in front of his NorCal buddies.
Green Bay's defense has not been discussed much by anybody this week, largely because most of the talk has been about when the Packers have the ball. What was the most egregious weakness the Packer defense showed last time against San Francisco? And how easy will it be to make that better?
You know, I think it was a situation where all three levels didn't play well, right? You didn't get much pressure up front, and that's what we've seen them do over the last couple, you know, weeks, right? With the Smiths, it was Darius and Preston, the linebacking core, kid who went to Stanford that we know well, and Blake Martinez, just a heady guy, but not a guy who is going to make the wild play or the exciting play, but just a guy who makes the play, and he didn't really make many that day as the 49ers. I think Breida had a big game that day, I believe, the way they ran the football. So it's a situation in which all three levels of their defense didn't play well, right? I think that was the game that we looked at Green Bay and said, good team, but what kind of defense is this? And then they started to pick it up afterwards. So it's a defense, Ray, that honestly has played better of late. And they've got capabilities of making things tough for the 49ers. But in that game, the last one in particular, just nothing went right. And I don't know if it was because of the travel schedule. I don't know if it was Matt LaFleur going out. I don't know what it was, but definitely whatever they did in that last game in the regular season, they don't want to have a repeat performance.
You mentioned Blake Martinez, and yes, good linebacker, good enough to slow down George Kittle, because we talked a lot last week about Eric Kendricks, and actually, I mean, I don't want to say he shut down Kittle, but it was a low catch
well.
Game for
Played
Kittle
well.
In any
right.
event. Is this a week where Kittle might be able to get loose again?
Yeah, I would think so. I think this is a much better opportunity for him. Blake is not known for his coverage skills. I think Eric Kendrick put on a clinic last week about how to play underneath coverage with a safety over the top, right? That's how he got the interception. Mm-hmm. And Garoppolo kept going back to it. I'm like, don't go back to it. You go back to the well too often, and you get burned, and he threw the interception. So I think, you know, Jimmy will see early on how are they going to guard, you know, everybody, right? Jair Alexander, they're one of their corners that they drafted. Kevin Keane, they've got some guys who can make some things happen, but they don't take the football away a ton. And so with that being said, obviously when you start with the 49ers offense, the first guy you look to is 85. Take him out of the game. George Kittle, how do you do that? So there are going to be linebackers. There's going to be some safeties. How are they going to play this? But if the 49ers come out in that big package, right, they come out in 12 personnel or 21 with Hughescheck, it does create, you know, some matchup problems, because you have to remember, how does Mike Pettine, his defense, do they match with base personnel? Do they put a little bit of nickel out there or dollar? Like, it's just it's a bunch that they really have to go through.
Kirk, speaking of getting loose, I know you're coming up here for the game Sunday. Does that mean you're going to be getting loose in the Bay Area on Saturday night?
I haven't decided yet, man. I got to figure out what's actually going on in the Bay Area. But usually, you know, night before games, you know, this is my sixth consecutive that I've, you know, championship game Sunday. And, you know, I still get, you know, goosebumps just knowing how big of a game just it's going to be, right? Like last year, you know, I covered the Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs. And you just kind of feel the tension of how big of a game it is. And then, so, you know, I really just kind of sit back, go over my notes, and kind of get ready for, you know, what I think is a huge, just a huge game for the organization. Right, the 49ers, they need this game.
In your experience, Kirk, is it easier to reach the championship game as a media member than it was a player?
Oh, trick question. Much easier as a media member, seriously, man. But, you know, it just, you know, for me, I think what I really love watching now as a media member or former player is the journey in which it takes, right? The journey of watching these games and watching how teams like the 49ers, who I visited the last 3 years in camp, sitting down with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and their vision. And their vision has taken them in 3 short seasons, you know, to 1 step away from a Super Bowl. It's just unheard of, but it definitely it's goes to show you the patience that the organization have in giving them guys 6 years to get things fixed. And it only took 3. How about that?
That's why we love talking to you, Kirk. It's not just about the destination. It's the journey. Thanks so much for riding along with us today. Appreciate you, man. See you this weekend.
Yeah, see you Sunday, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.